subjective and objective thinking. So-called human thoughts, when good and right, are the thought forms or the so-called things of divine mind, our mind, although imperfectly known by us, and still seen objectively. Humanly speaking, when our thinking is about things and about events and about conditions which seem apart from and external to us, this is called objective thinking. But in subjective thinking, we understand that all thought forms, events, and conditions are held within their divine cause, our mind, subjectively. We ourselves are the thought forms, the events, the conditions, as effect or manifestation, and they are good and eternally good. We should understand the great value in our practice work in keeping all our thinking subjective. As yet, we still see things objectively before our mind, that is, we see them as apart and external to us. But through reason and revelation, we understand that these things are held in oneness within their cause. They were in the beginning with their cause, and are like their cause, and are governed and controlled by their cause. And we, as Christian Scientists, are to interpret all things from this viewpoint and evaluate all things as subjective and not objective. To Jesus, everything was subjective, in and of the Father mind. To Jesus, everything, every event, every condition, everything that comprised Jesus as the conscious identity of mind was held subjectively in his own God mind. His own God mind was the cause of all these things. Therefore, they were externally like their cause, whole and complete and perfect. Because of this quality of immanence in God, mind, consciousness, we understand that every existing thing in the universe and in man must be subjective, must be inherent or indwelling in consciousness subjectively. Every condition or event or experience is mental, is divinely mental, and is subjective. And we are to understand these things as subjective or indwelling in consciousness, no matter what the false appearance may be. God, our mind, the only consciousness, is the maker of all our thoughts, ideas, and experiences. And they are subjective, even if they appear before the so-called human mind objectively. Everything is subjective and starts from within our own God consciousness and is an actual experience as man, as ourselves. When we think objectively, the object seems to be outside ourselves or apart from us and something that we think about. When we think objectively, it seems that we are growing up to some event, or advancing towards some condition, or that we are not being what we shall be later on. Objective thinking is very prevalent and should be replaced with subjective thinking. In true thinking, or subjective thinking, all objects or things are ideas, and we are these ideas. In subjective thinking, we do not pass through material conditions or grow up to events, but we are the conditions or the events subjectively, and they are good and eternally good. Church, a subjective experience. Every experience in our lives should be a subjective experience, and especially should church be a subjective experience. Why? Because church, in its true meaning, is Christ, and Christ is comprised of the reality of every existing thing and is man in God's image and likeness. Mrs. Eddy defines church as, quote, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle, close quote. Let us note the word whatever. Whatever means there is nothing in man or the universe, when rightly interpreted, that does not rest upon and proceed from divine principle. Therefore, church, or Christ, or man, quote, is the full representation of mind, close quote, and is everything mind is. In the definition of church, we should also note the word from. Church proceeds from principle and is not something apart from principle that must grow up to principle. That would be an objective experience. But church is always a subjective experience, inherent within our God mind, and is good and eternally good. When we understand that church is a growth out from mind, this understanding helps church maintenance as nothing else can. The highest and most practical contribution we can make to any church is that we, within ourselves, are the living universal Christ, or church, or man. When we attain this exalted realization of church, above the old objective sense of church, this realization precludes the human mind's pictures of lack along any line. And we find that all things exist and are present in faultless perfection and abundance. The very nature of church, being the structure of truth and love, must be peace and plenty, must be prosperity and completeness, must be unfailing and unending, must be the spontaneous mental activity of all men. Our church is established within us subjectively, within our forever living Christ consciousness. Church and all the activities of our church organization are mental, divinely mental. And these activities are always subjective experiences, inherent in true consciousness. If we fail to understand this, our church activities become restricted through the so-called laws of material planning or through the so-called laws of objective thinking. When working mentally for our church, if our thinking about church is objective, that is, if we are working up to some event, our demonstration will be obstructed and void. In order to have our work effective, we must lift our thought above the material concept of church and church activities and let it rest upon that which is primal and subjective. Then we find our church and all of its activities as good and eternally good. The real purpose of church is to elevate the human race by rousing it out of its dormancy and to help the human mind yield to the divine, so that the divine is realized as the all and the only of our being. It is not the material church building with which we are primarily concerned. See Miscellany 162:21. The Church of God is not a building. The more thoroughly we understand what church is and what activities are, the less laborious church building becomes. Then the process of church building proceeds with less effort and more joy, and better workmanship will be our material symbol. It is the failure of Christian Scientists to perceive church in its true idea as being the Church of God, and as being a subjective experience, which accounts for the sense appearance of an imperfect church. We should cease working for church and church activities according to the usual tiresome human routine and the usual sense of church as material and objective. We should refuse to accept the worn-out notion that a Christian Scientist is a personal worker trying to fix things up. The divine mind is the only worker, and an actual scientific treatment is God, divine mind, in operation. Mind manifesting itself in full measure of realization and resistless power. It is the smallness of our own concept of church which depicts everything materially and limits our abundance of good. Our actual prosperity is in the realm of fundamental thinking, and our consciousness, the consciousness of divine love, is capable of expressing itself in infinite measure. Our consciousness is the most dynamic activity in operation today, and everything is subject to our own right thought. We hear the word need used excessively in almost every conversation. We talk about our need, the church's need, the civic need, the nation's need, the world's need. But as Christian Scientists, we should understand that any thought of need is always error, and that error's need is nothing. Need, when seen subjectively and correctively interpreted, is always supply. The welfare of our cause is in the hands of Christian Scientists, and our cause is a universal cause. the welfare of the world, and the welfare of our individual universe is in our hands. Our daily work for our church and our cause should not be individual only, but it should be universal as well. It should be from the standpoint that our church and our cause are subjective, are inherent in divine consciousness. Our thinking along all lines should be subjective thinking. If subjective thinking is uppermost in our thought, the reward will be great indeed. That concludes part one of this association address.